Hey, Future Dave here. If you're curious, this episode was recorded before we actually received the starter sets. So it contains, you know, a lot of discussion about how we don't have the starter sets yet. Obviously, we, or at least I know I, have the starter set at this point. And if you want to have a little more coverage of that, check out a video that I will have up sometime in the proximity of the dropping of this podcast. I got a little more work to do on it, and video is not my medium, so, you know, be kind. But otherwise, we have some pretty fun discussions on this one, and just understand you won't be hearing too much about the starter set, because at the time we did this, we had no starter set. All right, thanks so much for listening.
The Reserve Pool, Episode 25, Rampant Speculation. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to yet another episode of The Reserve Pool, a podcast about Dice Masters and all the people who love to play it. This is Dave.
This is Katie.
And I'm Evan.
Breaking the tradition again, Evan. That's okay. We are here yet again another week to have some rampant speculation about future sets like Age of Ultron. But, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself. How are you guys doing this week?
Been pretty good. Actually, been back into D&D lately, obviously getting ready for the next set, one of the sets that's coming out soon, Dungeons & Dragons. So that's what I've been doing with my life lately.
Soon. I think it's, what, February, or is it April now? Yeah. I don't remember. One of the two.
Relativistically soon. If I were traveling, if I were traveling at the speed of light, it would be longer?
Yeah, it doesn't work so well.
I forget. Somebody tell me I'm wrong or right about that. Physics.
Someone tell you how relativity works.
Yes. Well, in like 20 words or less, because short attention span.
If you were traveling at the speed of light, the release would get there faster for you.
But no one else. Everyone
right.
else would be slow.
Exactly. So you're playing D&D to get ready for the D&D Dice Masters?
More, it's just an excuse
sort of.
To play D&D.
Well, you don't need an excuse. There's always it's fun. There's a good reason.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, new edition, which means people are all excited for it again. So
yeah.
Take advantage of that.
I did a little bit of the playtest packet with some friends prior to the new edition being released, and I have to say I really enjoyed what we did. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we should, I don't know, trade notes offline or something, but in case anybody cares, there's a new edition of D&D, if you didn't know, and it's much better than 4th edition.
And all the core stuff is free. All the basic stuff is there for free.
Yes.
But if you want the actual books, you can get two of them. The third one, for whatever reason, is not coming out till early December.
I don't even understand that.
I just want to play in a classic, like, Dragonlance setting. Not the stupid War of Souls, actual Dragonlance. But anyway,
to reprint the Planescape setting, like update it.
Yeah.
So I don't have to keep on translating my rules every.
That would be very cool. Hopefully they'll put out a little bit of stuff in the Dungeon Master's Guide. We'll see.
I believe they did give Sigil a nod. So
they did. And
which is, I think, better than, what was it, 4th edition?
It got a paragraph in 4th edition.
Well, I mean, so far it's gotten like a paragraph in 5th, but
I have no idea what you're talking about, so that's okay.
It's the best setting. If you haven't played Planescape Torment, why are you talking? Stop talking and go play Planescape Torment.
I'll have to. How are you, Evan?
Pretty well. I had been playing Baldur's Gate to prepare myself for the Dice Masters stuff, as I think they're doing a Faerun setting, and that's very old Faerun setting at this point, but whatever.
I think it's Faerun.
Whatever.
Yeah. People know it. That's true. I myself have been video gaming a little bit lately, but I did something that I swore about 4 years ago that I would not do, today, for the first time in 4 years, logged into World of Warcraft.
Why would you do that?
Oh, man. There goes your life.
I say that as someone who's been raiding for 10 years.
Yeah.
I say that as a recovering World of Warcraftaholic.
Yeah, well, the new expansion intrigues me, and I know a lot of things have changed, and I had 7 days free, so I figured, well, let's go and see my old pets, because I was a hunter.
Scroll of Resurrection or whatever. I get a mount or whatever the hell they give you for it nowadays.
Oh.
7 years sober, man.
I'm checking to see how this expansion goes. I'm giving it a few months before I decide where I'm going. It's definitely more of a social experience than it is a gaming experience for me now. I'm not saying it's bad, I have so many other things I do nowadays.
Yeah, and I would definitely be playing a lot more casually. If I would be fueling it based on, like, gift cards that I can get through, like, Bing Rewards or other things like that. And if there's a month that I, for whatever reason, slacked on that and don't have 15 in gift cards or 30 in gift cards to get my, you know, 30 or 60 day time card, then that's just that for that month. It's going to be a much more casual, laid back thing. So
yeah. There's actually another MMO that does something like that. They actually have the game time as a buyable item in game.
Yeah.
And you can trade that, like you can trade for it and whatnot. So
a lot of them do it now, thanks to EVE Online. Rift, I know, is one that does that. And if you're, I will say that if you like,
WildStar is the one that's doing that. I remember. Oh. Okay. Instituted that.
Yeah, a lot of them are doing that. I know that Rift, if you liked World of Warcraft or are looking for something a little more low-key but still very familiar, I would recommend Rift. It's pretty good. It's definitely cut from that same cloth, but there are some interesting differences that I found appealing. It just doesn't have the player base at this point, but if you have other people who would get into it with you, I know you would have fun. There's still thousands and thousands of people who play it. It's just, you know, when you're comparing to WoW, which still has millions of subscribers, it's tough to, like, say you're going to get the exact same experience. But Rift is good. Anyway, that's a lot of MMOs. Why don't we talk about Dice Masters? All right, so this is the Reserve Pool MMO podcast.
Excellent.
We do have a little bit of news, so let's do that. Okay, so that news is That news is this. WizKids now has an official rules forum. You can find it through the WizKids Advanced System website, and I'm looking at it right now. The WizKids Rules Forum, and they have a specific board for Dice Masters. It's there. It's called Dice Masters Rules. They have a read-only forum, which I'm not sure what it's for. I haven't looked at that one. And then they have a rules discussion forum. I think the read-only just has the rules and guidelines. Yeah, it does. So nobody has posted yet. You could be the first if you have those pesky rules questions, which who among us doesn't? That's a place for you to go. Official place.
Yeah, I actually am curious about how they're going to, like, moderate / respond to that in general. Because I feel like when you are under the pressure to make kind of a more on-the-fly ruling, that as you have in internet time. I'm just interested in seeing how they respond to it and whether or not the responses that come from it will always be canonical or if someone will think better of it later or what.
You mean kind of like having an email address set up for it, then having a lot of people email you, then issuing rulings and then retracting all of those?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I wonder what game that happened to, huh?
Mm.
but
I don't
no.
Know. I heard you guys say that, and all I could think of when you gaze long into the internet gazes long into you.
Wow. Very philosophical once again, Evan. but yeah, so that's their official solution for it as of right now. And again, you can find that on the WizKids event system website. So people really need to give that a look and get some of these things answered, man.
Woohoo! Yeah, I guess I do think it's necessary, especially since we have these, like, big clumps of cards that come out and then people start breaking them and then you have to answer those, like, how does this interact with that, more and more. And all the questions happen at once, and then everyone kind of settles down.
Yep. That's pretty much what it's going to be. I mean, it's a good time to have it just in advance of the new set coming out. Plus, you know, some people have the new set in their hands. But I guess the other side of the news, and this would be a little more of a rumor, we already knew that the set was delayed a little bit. It sounds like, from what we're hearing, that it might be delayed just a little bit more. What have you been reading there, Evan?
Hi, Future Dave here again. And I'm actually cutting a big chunk out here because the things that I just talked about, there were some rumors before pre-orders, you know, people started getting pre-order shipment notifications that the customs issues that were affecting not just WizKids, but a lot of other companies' board games were more widespread than they had feared, and that Dice Masters might be delayed even longer. However, as we now know, that was not the case at all, because we have starter sets out there in our game stores, in our hands. So don't worry about any of this, but do remember that there are a lot of things with these games that are simply beyond any of the publisher's control. And while WizKids and others may make an easy target, especially since WizKids puts definite dates to things and then, you know, doesn't follow up with them, whereas Fantasy Flight is just notoriously vague, maybe a happy medium for both would be nicer. A lot of these things are simply beyond the control of the publisher, and it's not really right for us to take them to task for it. So anyway, we're back in at the next most logical spot.
The potential for further issues with this has been, like, it has been out there. I think as early as several months ago, they were talking about the potential for a strike among the longshoremen or something like that, which is, I'm not exactly sure. Like, longshoremen to me is something that, a unit that I trained up in Age of Empires. So I'm not sure exactly what the...
I think it's the oceanic equivalent of Teamsters. I'm not sure.
That makes sense. And that's a pretty kind of cool name for it. Yeah, I mean, if you Google Longshore Strike 2014, you get a few different results and facts, and then something was delayed by 30 days as of last year, but then other things. There are some dock strikes happening on the West Coast. That's just what it is. We're threatening to happen, and that's not good. It's been an issue for a while, and frankly, I would be shocked if WizKids is the only game company affected, because everything comes over on the slow boat from China. For all these companies.
Literally.
Yeah. I mean, well, if the slow boat, if you just look at a Fantasy Flight game and see how long it says that it's quote-unquote on the boat. Of course, we think Fantasy Flight milks that anyway, so whatever.
Yeah, so unfortunately, real life happened again to Dice Masters, and
We're not sure. Just take this with a grain of salt. If you get your stuff on, like, Thursday, which would be the day you'd be listening to this, like, I think we're forgetting that we're recording this well before the actual release date, so we might already be completely proven wrong, because, well, you know, on the day of the you'll be like, no, we have it now. What are you talking about, you crazy people? Which would be hilarious, and I'd be happy.
I would
to be
love
proven
that
wrong.
To be the case.
That
yeah,
would
please.
Be funny. All right, so congratulations, all of the cards showed up.
I will note this, right now on Amazon, there is the sold by the Game Addict, $23.17 in free shipping, the Uncanny X-Men starter set. It says in stock, so I don't know what that actually means.
They could be breaking street date.
Yeah.
Which WizKids will kill them for. WizKids, I know, definitely, like...
Yeah, WizKids said they were going to crack down pretty hard on breaking street date, so...
I don't know what a company does in those instances, but I know they said they were going to do something. So, for what it's worth.
To sell them product later on, I think is the standard.
Yeah. That could well be it. Yep.
Well, that's enough rambling about several different topics.
Let's ramble about others.
Let's ramble about some other things,
yes.
Like our main feature this week, which is rampant speculation, because we haven't had enough of that this week yet.
Well, yeah, you're right, Katie. It's tough because we were hoping to have the starter set in our hands to talk about here, but, you know, time has kind of gotten away with us, from us, and WizKids and the Longshoremen. What can you do about that? Rampant speculation is fun. I enjoy these conversations.
That's my new band name, by the way, WizKids and the Longshoremen.
I like it.
All right, so what we are going to rampantly speculate about now is there was a fairly brief news post about the Age of Ultron box set, which is coming out sometime in the mid to late next year, it sounds like. They said it would be after the Avengers 2 movie. And one
so that would be at least, at the least very May. Earliest May.
Yes. And what we heard was that there would be Phil Coulson, Captain Marvel, mentions of Iron Man, Captain America, Black Widow, Hawkeye, Hulk,
Wolverine.
And Thor. No mention of Wolverine.
I know, I'm just making fun of you.
I'd be shocked if Wolverine weren't there. Wasn't there. Whatever. And Groot and Rocket Raccoon.
Didn't you also say Daredevil?
Daredevil, too, yes.
Groot and Rocket Raccoon intrigue me.
Yes, so really that's what we're going to be rampantly speculating about, is that Groot and Rocket Raccoon and what it might mean for future factions or future affiliations, because they're Guardians of the Galaxy, and it sounds like we're going to have quite a few characters that aren't really associated with the Avengers or the X-Men or one of the teams that already has more than three characters released. And so the question is, are we going to start to see more factions, more affiliations? Because that was the big question I saw as soon as I saw two Guardians of the Galaxy. What do you guys think?
I hope so. I think when we see Guardians of the Galaxy, it points to yes. There are plenty of factions that can be brought out, plenty of neat interactions that you can do with them. I don't want to see the game get too cluttered with those things, but as long as the energy affiliation remains one of the more key elements as compared to the faction, if the faction's like a neat little bonus or something like that versus the energy affiliation, which really defines, you know, kind of the personality, similar to the colors and magic, then I'm with it, and I hope so, and I think so.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what other factions they could include on top of that.
Do you mean in that specific event or in general?
Oh, no, in general. I mean, it's sort of like, well, Avengers has become, you know, because there's the Avengers East Coast, Avengers West Coast.
Mighty Avengers,
Young Avengers, Old Avengers, Secret Avengers, Avengers, you know. Not actually Avengers. I was just making that up, though. Who knows what will happen in a few months.
Yeah. Was there an Avengers Academy, too?
Yes. And Avengers Undercover.
Avengers, yep. Mm. So there are quite a few variations of Avengers. And so the thing is, you can throw almost anyone in that Avengers bubble. Pretty much everyone's been an Avenger at one point or another, if they've ever been on the side of what is good and what is right, or even sometimes not on the side of what is good and what is right. So there are plenty of Avengers out there, and the question is, I'm pretty sure Groot and Rocket Raccoon have never been in the Avengers.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the case.
So I feel like this is a situation where obviously we could follow in the footsteps of, for example, Nova from the AVX set, where he was just unaffiliated. But I feel like that really sort of robs them of some cohesion, especially if they're not specifically mentioned, but Gamora, Star-Lord, Drax, you know, that sort of thing. Are we going to
possibly
see those?
Possibly Angela, if they want to go there.
Way to spoil something I'm working on with Randy, guys.
Well, you know, if it comes up in conversation. I think there are a lot of teams that you could kind of pull in.
I think the existing factions, aside from the Fantastic Four, who are three guys, but...
and no women.
It's the Avengers, which is the Avengers family of stuff. the X-Men, which is X-Men, X-Factor, X, anything that you put an X in front of is represented in the X-Men's. The Villains faction, which, despite having the Hydra symbol and no Red Skull, or any other Hydra villains...
or Zola, or Zemo.
Give them time.
Is, you know, it's sort of all-encompassing in sort of the bad guy aspect. It's like sort of, what else could
encompassing?
You have? It's
all encompassing.
Oh, whatever. words.
Yeah, I mean, I do have to agree to some extent about that.
But it's sort of like, what other factions could they have? And really, I honestly think Guardians of the Galaxy is probably, you know, if you want to use it shorthand for heroes from space. There you go. I mean, throw maybe, what's his name? He was portrayed as a villain in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, but he's generally not kind of. What's his name? I can't remember his name. He was the villain in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Oh, you mean other than Thanos?
He had a guest spot. That doesn't count.
Okay.
The one who was actually the villain.
Like random... I don't know. He was the weak part of the movie. Like the guy who was in charge of that faction of like jihadistic people.
Ronan. Thank you.
Ronan the Accuser.
Yes, Ronan the Accuser, okay. Who is like he's a fairly major character in the Marvel space weirdos lore.
That's I mean, as an aside about the movie, I love that movie, but Ronan was pretty bland, and I thought he just seemed kind of. I'm surprised that he was very.
He's nothing like how he is in the comics.
That's
he's
fair. Well, I don't think it has to be like all. You could lump all the space people in. I don't know, but I think there's a lot of. Why not like go throwback? Why not bring in the Howling Commandos? Why not have a S.H.I.E.L.D. faction? I mean, there could be some things to. There could be some things to do. I mean, you guys are going to have to help me here because when it comes to Marvel factions, I'm not entirely sure. What there is. I could rattle off about 100 things with DC. I mean, I guarantee we'll see, you know, Justice League and Teen Titans and Green Lantern Corps and, you know, so on down the line. But here, help.
Not so much. Yeah, I feel as
though... A lot of it is really the Avengers family, the X-Men family, and then miscellaneous. Well, yeah. Then there's the Fantastic Four and then sort of miscellaneous.
Yeah, I mean, technically you have, like, quote-unquote cosmic, which is, you know, where we would lump the Kree, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy, the Kree, the...
Nova, all those guys.
Do they have to be...
The Skrulls, yeah.
Do they have to be... It doesn't have to be all new characters to be a new faction, right? Like, why couldn't you do the Brotherhood? You know what I mean? That
because
could be cool.
Like, they already got those characters in there as villains. I mean,
yeah,
I guess they could
introduce
But if they
that,
had a different way of portraying them. I mean, we already had, you know, like, we already have one version of a character that's Hydra, and now we have another version of the character that's X-Men. You know what I mean? Like, with the split affiliations, the door's open. If they find a neat way for that faction specifically to work and they tag just the characters that they want for it versus tagging everybody with a Hydra logo, which is currently the only way they have of differentiating, I don't think there's... I mean, the bottom line is that so many characters cross over to so many different things that it's kind of impossible to not have some overlap when you're dealing with comic books.
And I think it's actually kind of sad that they just went for a villains faction because I think it sort of dilutes possible, you know, we have a Hydra faction and an AIM faction and a Brotherhood faction and give me some other villains. Yeah.
That's all I got.
A Latveria faction.
With one, because there is only Doom.
It's true.
I guess I'm wondering if perhaps what we might see, the mechanic is still a bit up in the air, although we have a pretty good idea about what it's about. But that heroic, subcategory of the characters, I'm wondering if we might see some sort of, like, cosmic tag of some sort, you know, like... Cosmic, when you field this character, do a thing, you know, like we're seeing with the heroic. I'm
curious.
This character
can fight in the space fight zone, which is a difference. I mean, I could almost see that as being like flying. in Magic.
Yeah, yeah, I could see like that sort of thing where it's like sort of like Angel has now, the where it's like Angel can only be blocked by things that are higher level than him type of situation, but with flying.
Well, how about what about the Inhumans?
Yeah, I would almost put them in the cosmic dudes category.
Almost,
yeah, but
certainly.
They could just be the Inhumans.
Well, yeah, this but they're so tied to the cosmic stuff. Marvel's trying to make the Inhumans happen. I don't think it's happening.
Well, I mean, the same way, why lump all the cosmic ones together if we didn't like that with the villains? And it seems like with the variation that WizKids is putting on the factioning, they're trying to kind of retouch that as well. You know, the cosmics don't have to be lumped together. The Inhumans could be interesting. Now, I don't know much about them. I know that they exist. that's kind of the extent of my knowledge there. But that's, I don't know. They're certainly one that I think people are aware of that could... They could pop up. I don't know where they would pop up. I mean, if they're going to keep going for
Infinity
themes like
Orc.
Uncanny. Okay, there you go.
Which, I'd honestly, if they were going to... I mean, I'm not going to say I have any insider knowledge of what the third Avengers movie is going to be like. But Infinity seems like a reasonable bet.
Yeah, I feel like if the Marvel Cinematics are trying to make the Inhumans happen in movies, doing an Infinity for arc for Avengers 3 is the way to go.
And at very least, there'll be definitely Thanos involved. So
yeah.
We know that's a possibility for 3.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't hate bringing, like, Thane into the proper blah, blah, blah Marvel nerds. I like Bane. Interesting character. Huh. No points for guessing who his dad is.
Oh, man. That was... Remember how a Marvel side game completely spoiled that for the comics like 3 months in advance?
That was amazing. I think Hickman was a little salty about that, to be
perfectly
honest.
Yeah, he was. We asked him about it when we were at New York Comic Con. He said there was a... There was a scheduling snafu, and
he had a distinct air of "I'm kind of annoyed by this."
Okay,
there was a scheduling snafu, and a game, Marvel Avengers Alliance, released him with the information that Thanos is his dad. Spoilers, well before the comics got to that fact.
Oh wow! Oh, that would be would be obnoxious.
Months
I can just as a create like. If you were a creative force behind that, oh, man. Okay.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So, like, Evan, we were both there together, and Evan went up to him and was kind of like, so, how about that Marvel Avengers Alliance? And Hickman's like, I'm only vaguely associated with the, what was it, the additional media thing, and there was a scheduling conflict, or a scheduling mess up. And it was like, ouch. There was definitely a tone.
Well, let's look at this from a macro standpoint here. Then, if we are limited on viable Marvel factions to go in, I mean, certainly there are plenty of characters that we haven't seen yet. But if we are limited on viable Marvel factions that can go into this game, then what kind of life cycle, you know, perhaps beyond Age of Ultron, other than some movie tie-ins, are we really going to see? HeroClix has different, you know, smaller things come out with different movies and other things. And, you know, they can always do a little bit of a different sculpt or change up the powers to kind of focus on a different aspect of somebody's theme. Are we really thinking that we're going to see some more redone characters the way we are, like redone Professor X, for example?
Well,
or...
I mean, I think they already said there's going to be Iron Man and Captain America in this set. So I'm starting to think, are we going...
Not the original six, but the movie six looked like they're all coming back, is my guess.
So I think we can say Iron Man in every set.
And Wolverine, of course. I think part of the thing that I think the game probably wants to go towards is like more micro factions.
Yeah. They did say there would be 30 new characters.
Okay.
The article did say specified 30 characters. I don't know if that means they're going to, you know, they meant it in 30 dead on the money, or or I'm sorry, 30 new characters. I don't know if that means 30 dead on the money and, or, you know, about 30, but...
I will say that the Uncanny X-Men set also advertised with over 30 all new characters and dice.
Right. This said exactly, like, it didn't say exactly 30, but it said 30 no qualifiers to it.
Yeah. So that, I mean, when the Uncanny X-Men advertising material came out, it said like 30 plus all new characters and dice. And there's not 30 new characters. There's 30 characters, including recycled ones. So I do think we're going to see some recycling, and that there are not going to be 30 brand new dice.
Well, and I think that people are going... I think that you're going to be surprised moving forward. Like, say, for example, Guardians of the Galaxy. A year before that movie came out, do you think we would be sitting here talking about how popular Guardians of the Galaxy is and how everybody, like... loved it and is going to want to, you know, have those characters and be able to play with them? Because I don't think I would have. And I think a lot of people, you know, up until maybe shortly before the release of that movie, were kind of skeptical, right? So who's to say what they bring about?
I wanted to believe, man.
Well, sure, but I mean, you're talking a lot of the uninitiated who were just like, what is this? And then a lot of people who were fans who were like, ah, these are B-listers, whatever. And then it came out and, I mean... I had a great time. I'm so glad I saw that movie. There's going to be plenty more that they're doing with the Marvel Cinematic Universe here, especially because of the unique situation that Marvel finds itself in with the rights to various characters. Marvel Disney is going to be, like, is going to continue to dig deep, you know? I mean, do you think that if Marvel Disney had the rights to Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, X-Men, that we would see movies with Thor and Iron Man, but Thor and some of these others at the forefront? I don't think so. I like the Thor movies. It works well, but I don't think these are the characters they would have picked if they had had some of the more marquee names at their disposal.
Yeah. I mean, that was the big thing even before the, like, quote-unquote Marvel Cinematic Universe started with Iron Man. I mean, that was a shot in the dark.
And, it was.
And people were incredibly skeptical of the idea of putting a movie on Iron Man, who is like a C-list character as far as comics are concerned.
There you go. That's right. I forgot about that. I guess I'm still thinking Iron Man now. But yeah, Iron Man was not really like anybody.
Iron Man had not yet happened when the Iron Man movie came out. And now he's all over the place.
Yeah. Well, there you go then. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Now we're talking about maybe three consecutive Marvel sets with Iron Man. I mean... there you go. So who's to say in a couple, you know, next year, a year later, whatever else, whatever they bring out and have planned, they're clearly willing to dig deep into their bag of Marvel characters. And if Guardians of the Galaxy is any indication, they can do some good stuff with it. So maybe somebody's going to be clamoring for the Inhumans before long, and now that's a viable set. Certainly, if Disney Marvel has access to it, they're going to try to do it because, again, they don't have a lot of those marquee names. So what they're doing is they're taking who they have and making it marquee.
Yeah.
Counterpoint, Blade.
Do they not own Blade?
No, I'm saying that they made a Blade movie a while ago, and he was really a C-lister.
Yeah, but that one didn't blow up a Marvel universe around him.
Yeah, that was also New Line Cinema. That was well before the acquisition by Disney and the creative control of Joss Whedon.
Oh, yes. No, I'm saying long, long ago, but...
Yeah,
like 98.
Yeah.
Pre-Iron Man 1.
Right.
Yes. No, I was more saying that they sometimes bring out C-listers anyway.
Yeah, it's true, but Blade didn't explode the way Iron Man did, so.
Yeah.
Neither did the first Hulk movies.
No, not really at all.
Or the first Fantastic Four movies.
No.
Well, that wasn't Marvel, so.
Any of the first Fantastic, whatever.
Yeah, that was Marvel, but not Marvel, exactly. Yeah, so that's the struggle that they face, but I think they have to do this with some of the C-listers. They can only get so much out of the Avengers, and they already have these things planned. And if they want to continue to expand the universe, which, given the way they're tying together all of the movies and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything else, all indications are that they do, I think they will actually have a very strong palette of not just obscure comic book characters, but characters who have become... in-demand film adaptation characters like the Guardians of the Galaxy to draw from for these Dice Master sets.
I'm suddenly wondering what it would be like to have a movie with Black Bolt because he can't talk.
Well, you know, the first half of WALL-E worked.
It would have to be a very good actor.
Yeah, that's true.
Whatever.
So, long and short of it is, I hope we do see more of Guardians of the Galaxy in Age of Ultron. Not knowing anything about that arc, to have any kind of opinion or knowledge, I don't know if they actually fit at all into that story. Okay, but
no.
Hey, why not have them there? Characters are characters. You can have them all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, if we can have Fantastic Three in Avengers versus X-Men, then why not? Give me those Guardians.
I want Sue Storm.
And I have to say, looking at the roster and seeing no Sue Storm makes me worry a little. And and if they don't have her and Wolverine, it'll be just funny because they were two of the more important characters in the actual Age of Ultron storyline.
Yeah, well, we shall see. I think it just comes down to factions. Are they going to be more? Are there going to be more than four factions? I hope so.
My vote is yes.
Especially since the cards seem to be balanced around, or not balanced, more focused around the four energy types than the factions, Dave, like you said earlier. I think there's not going to be a problem with making there be more factions, because there's really no such thing as, a faction team.
Yeah, well, there could be. I mean, there are ones that work, and they can work together, and even refactioning existing characters, like we've already talked about, can change the flavor. If all of a sudden you had a Brotherhood team, now it's just those specific characters are going to be able to have a specific bonus applied to them, rather than, you know, all of the folks with the Hydra tag. Because otherwise you're saying, okay, Magneto and Toad and this and this and this and this, and now you have, a paragraph of text on that card just to tell you who it affects. So it could work, and I think I would be surprised if we didn't see some of that happen. I think it's going to be another means of creative space in the game, and I think it's the direction they're going, given all of the excellent, excellent stuff we're seeing so far from Uncanny. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. Bam.
And scene. I don't have anything else to say.
Well, I think that does pretty much cover it. Evan, any final thoughts from you?
Nope.
Wonderful. So hopefully we will have some Uncanny X-Men to talk about very shortly. I'm itching to get my hands on that starter box and kind of dig in and see what I think about the different things. I've heard from folks who do have them that the dice in general are of a higher quality. I just want to see it. I want it. I want it now. Come on.
Give me.
Yes, please. But until that time, we will just have to be satisfied with talking about it. So from all of us here at the Reserve Pool, thank you for listening, and we will see you again in the week. Goodbye. You're not going to say goodbye?
No.
Bye.
Kate is like, no.
Bye-bye now.
Oh, there it is. All right.